Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we see here is that we're going on. The sahajas then are presenting themselves as being, no material desires, away from materialism. So, but the difficulty is they don't accept the principle of authority, right? So there's no guru really as such. They're not really into the scriptures studying. They're not really into rituals. So actually it's sentimentalism with, some serious authority issues here, right? And then their point is you don't have to follow anything, other than whatever's their bhajan, what they consider direct devotional activities. But in their lifestyle, it doesn't matter if they're sinful, do any old nonsense, because the holy name will purify them. And on one level, yes, the holy name purifies, but the point is you can't actually realize Krishna and develop love of God, because it's not, developing love of God's not a matter of getting purified. It's a matter of actually cultivating their relationship with Krishna. So it's two different things. So it's a mistake. Oh, if I get purified, then I'll develop love for Krishna. No, it's two different efforts. It's like saying, it means like if you have a dirty pot, you can't cook in it. But because I've washed the pot, now the cooking is done. You understand? No, you've washed the pot, now you can cook. That's the thing. So that's the difficulty here, is that their thinking is that the holy name will cleanse them of sinful reaction. Then, point is there is some things, but it's offensive, because you're doing it knowing that the Lord, the holy name will purify. But, as pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that the pure devotion then is only going to come about by removing the weeds, because you're freeing yourself from sinful reaction. But then the problem comes is you're not getting rid of the desire for materialism. Right? So, by the chanting process, you may purify from there, but at the same time, the weeds are growing. Right? And so, the weeds growing like this, they'll choke the creeper. And basically, because there's not a proper connection with parampara, then there isn't really much of a creeper to begin with. But, putting that aside, then it's still not going to function, because one may purify yourself, but you're not purifying the desire. So it'll just keep growing. Does that make sense? So that's why there must be that sincere attempt to chant without offense. Because then that means you're trying to chant to please Krishna, avoiding offenses. And then the weeds, you're pulling them out. That makes sense? So that in that way, then the sahajas actually can never become perfect. They say, well, no, but they're chanting this, that, won't be. Okay, they get some sukriti, but the point is what's that going to do for them? They're cultivating their material desire. So all it is a matter of time before they turn into gross materialists. Right? Because they're not trying to remove that. But at the same time, they're critical of the Vaishnavas, the preachers, because they're taking disciples. You know, you have missions, you have buildings, you have money, you have all this. No, think that's just all material. This is the funny thing, is their body and all the activities they do with their body, you know, somehow or another spiritual, but if you engage other material things in devotional service, then that's material. Right? They can't tell what's spiritual and what's material. They take their body as spiritual, but they take other things as material. So it's very confused. There's no real understanding of the philosophy at all, right? So in other words, they're attached to materialism at the same time as they have the sentiment for devotional service. So the two don't go really so well together.
Okay.
One may refer to the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 4.1.13, for the warning from Padma Purana that hearing from Avaishnavas is like drinking milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Right? Because the point of it's not devotees means it's material. So no matter how nicely it's presented and all that, it's still poison. That's why it says drinking milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk's nice, but if it's got poison in it, it still gives a poisonous effect. Right? So even though maybe some nice kirtan, nice discussions, but if it's not in the parampara, then it's going to have a bad effect. For those who would argue otherwise, the following quote exposes their real motivation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta comments that sharalata, or simplicity, is the first qualification of a Vaishnava, whereas duplicity, or cunning behavior, is a great offense against the principles of devotional service. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, one has gradually become disgusted with material attachment, and thus become more and more attached to the service of the Lord, right? Because two things are going. You can't have two things going at once. You can say, no, you can do it both at once. It's transcendental. You can do whatever you like. Why it's limited. You know, I mean, say all these kinds of things. You can use the Mayavada philosophy. But, you know, and say it nice. But the point is how many creepers can grow in one spot, right? There's a certain amount of water. There's a certain amount of space. You know, so the point is the weeds are taking up that space and the water, so how is the creeper going to grow? So that's why one has to remove these things. So it's either you have taste for material or taste for spiritual. You can't taste them both at once. You know what I'm saying? You can't taste, you know, fine food and garbage at the same time. You know, it's not going to work. That makes sense? It just doesn't work. If one is not factually detached from material activities, but still proclaims himself advanced in devotional service, he is cheating. No one will be happy to see such behavior. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 2.117 purport. The Sahajis believe there's no harm at all in hearing devotional songs sung by professional singers and musicians. And there's no harm because, you know, if they could get the job, they'd be doing it, right? But, you know, the program managers can only hire so many people, so they're just attending, right? But if they could have, they would have been the hired guys, yeah, you know. And there's no harm in propagating these songs through modern media like records, tapes, and radio. Somehow or another, that's fine, but preachers who do that, then that's all material. Right? You know, so there's issues here. And the consciousness of the singer and hearer plays no part in the transmission of devotion. So they're just taking it. The name is transcendental, so it doesn't matter. Yes, the name is transcendental, but the point is the hearer, if he's not transcendental, you know, and the speaker is not transcendental, it has an effect. They're just like you say, milk touched by the lips of a serpent. You have the holy name, but if you put poison with it, it gives poisonous effects. In the same way, there's no harm in employing professional actors and prostitutes to enact Krishna's pastimes and dramas. If these actors can bring tears to our eyes by their performance, that proves they are spiritually empowered. Right? They can bring tears. I mean, you know, it means you go out on the street, and there's the big burly guy sitting around the corner. Bring him around the corner. He'll twist your arm. He'll bring tears to your eyes. So does that mean now, you know, hey, you know, then that he's spiritually empowered? You know, what, how does that work? You know, it's like... But Srila Prabhupada writes, professional players and dramatic actors have no sense of devotional service. And therefore, although they can perform very artistically, there's no life in such performances. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to refer to such an actor as Yatradale Narada, which means partial Narada. Sometimes an actor in a drama plays the part of Narada, although in his private life he is not at all like Narada because he is not a devotee. Such actors are not needed in dramatic performances about the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 10.13 Purport. Right, because there's no need to do it. It's not a matter of entertainment. That you're looking at entertainment, know that it's entertainment. It's just mundane. Right? The spiritual is only because spiritual persons are involved in the spiritual activity. Does that make sense? Sahajiyas argue that because you have to distinguish that there's what's coming in parampara and you're engaging people, and then what's not coming in parampara, it doesn't have the potency in the first place. Right, you can say, okay, well, the devotees are doing, the karmi comes along, and then he takes part in the devotional service, isn't he getting spiritual benefit? Yes, because he's engaging in the spiritual activities arranged by pure devotees. Right, but if it's not arranged, it's not arranged by apasampradayic devotees, then where's the potency in the first place? Right, so it's not a matter of the materialist comes along, he gets benefit. No, it's that the people who are arranging it aren't even getting benefit. Yes.
So then we have to distinguish between pure devotional service, mixed devotional service, and just material activity.
Yes, yes. Because you're mixed, it's in pursuance of pure devotional service, though one hasn't necessarily come to that realization. Right?
Yeah.
But here it's a matter of, technically it's not even devotional service. They'll call it because it looks like, but it doesn't mean that it is. You know, it's like the kids up in the loft, and that, and Barbie and Ken are getting married. So are they actually married? You know? No. Because the thing is there's no authorization. You know? I mean, it's had great fun, but, you know, it's not actually real. So they're having some fun, but it isn't actually devotional. You know, they'll claim it is, the Sabbath. You know, anybody can claim anything. But if you go down the insane asylum, I'm sure you'll find people who think they're Napoleon Bonaparte and all kinds of people, right? You know, like that. So, but that doesn't mean that they are. You know. Okay. Sahajiyas argue that although someone is degraded in his personal life, if he has material writing power, he may freely compose books on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, the lives of great devotees and devotional service. Right? So the whole idea is that you can engage in devotional activities, seemingly, and claim that you're advanced, you know, and discuss everything like that, though you're a gross materialist. So all it is, does that make sense? It's not one thing that they're saying, yes, we're attached to all these things and we're not actually very advanced, we're not even really devotees at all. No, they're not saying like that. They're saying they're great devotees. Right? And how can you criticize? At the same time, those who are great devotees, they criticize. You know, so. Similarly, the most confidential pastimes of Krishna, for instance, the stealing of the clothes of the gopis, may be recited to the general public on the condition that the speaker is sufficiently paid. Right? Like that. Well, I guess that means them. Right? Furthermore, it means to be sufficiently paid. If you're only paying them a little bit, I don't know, what is it, the money makes it work or something? It's like grease, you know, makes it happen. Like that, you know. I mean, it makes a lot of things work. You pay sufficiently, you get a lot of things done. So, furthermore, a disciple can be instructed on the confidential mellows of material rasa, even though he is not free of material lust, because this will help him engage his lust in Krishna consciousness. The problem is there is rules how lust is engaged, so this is not the process. Right? The main point is to engage the emotions somehow or other in Krishna. Even demons like Kamsa and Shishupal were liberated by hating Krishna. Yeah, but they were only liberated. Right? So what is the harm of becoming lusty while hearing about the Lord's pastimes of love with the gopis? Right? But the point is you can't get beyond liberation anyway. So the point is devotional service isn't meant for that. So then again, it comes out that, so what's the difference between this and Buddhism? Because Buddhism is just to get freed from material entanglement. It's not to develop love for God. Does that make sense? Footnote 8. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeats these misconceptions and gives Krishna Leela its proper place in the following excerpt from Sri Srila Prabhupada Upadesha. Quote, "We have no objection to the hearing and chanting of Krishna's Leela. Actually, Sri Hari's Leela must be heard and chanted. Then only will the fallen, natural taste for, for hearing about our own activities and our eagerness to hear useless talks be vanquished. There is no other remedy than this." Right? So he points not the problems to Hari Katha, because that's the only thing that's going to cure everybody. Factually, there's no difference between chanting about the Lord's pastimes and chanting about the Lord's Sringara Rasa. The conditioned jiva who still has a narcissist should hear and chant about the pastimes of Lord Gauranga and the childhood pastimes of Krishna. The unqualified attempt to hear and speak about the confidential pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna will not bring auspiciousness to them. Rather, it will bring misfortune. Right? Because if Krishna is absolute, then all of his activities are absolute. So why only about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis? Right? One should hear something that is going to work properly. It's going to purify the heart and not create offenses. Right? So all that lustiness in there is going to be offensive to it. So how will that be auspicious? Right? That's the... We should hear the Lord's glories only from Sri Gurudev or the like. A true devotee will say, "I will only hear Harikatha from the holy lips of Sri Gurudev, and I will hear and speak about the Bhagavata and that Sukadev spoke from his lotus mouth. With Guru Nishtha, I will hear and discuss about Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, according to the path of pure devotion, as taught by Sri Gauranga, as I have heard from Gurudev. I will not hear from anyone else." Right. So this is, he's saying, this is the true devotee. They'll only hear from the spiritual master, or he says, or the like. In other words, those coming in that parampara, because the point is that you want to develop love for Krishna in that way. So just doing it any old way you like is not going to make it happen. Right? If I sit on the top of the car, you know, and move my hands like this and make noise, it doesn't mean the car is going to work. You know, but then you say, no, it's not going to work. What's that idiot doing now? Why are you calling him an idiot? Why are you, you know, saying these things and that? Well, I mean, he's not going to get anything. Why are you saying this? Why are you limiting Krishna's power and everything by saying the car can't go by him sitting on the roof? You know, like this? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. That's what they're doing. It's just sentimentally, you know, misapplying. So where it's being misapplied, they're saying, no, that's good. And where it's being applied properly, they say, that's bogus. So the only thing that reverses stuff to such a degree is the mode of ignorance. Right? So it means they're fully situated in ignorance. There is, you know, what's the goodness there? Because you can say, no, but they're chanting, they're hearing about Krishna, but also in ignorance. So it benefits. It's offensive. It's not actually beneficial. So that's why their association is avoided. Hearing and chanting is certainly the best way, but it is not auspicious for anyone and everyone to hear and discuss intimate pastimes. Hearing and discussing the confidential pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Govinda is the topmost type of worship and our eternal bhajan. However, this type of bhajan should not be taken to the public, as it is unfitting and offensive. Because the point is, if it's non-different from the Lord, how are they reciprocating? Right? So it's not in appreciation, or in that, it's with material motive, material desire. Oh, okay, still continuing. Apara bhajana kata na kahibe jata tata. You must not disclose your confidential mood of bhajan to one and all. One who desires all good fortune should follow this advice given by the acharyas. In a public assembly of different people, we should chant the holy name, as well as prayers and songs that are in the mood of servitorship, dasi ras. Then, when we have attained the proper qualification, and we are in the association of only rasika devotees, then we may hear more intimate songs. And at the time of hearing such songs, we may confidentially express our own bhajan according to our eternal position, suru. If we do otherwise, we will attain the opposite result. Because the point is this, it's not about us, it's about Krishna. So we can say, no, but I can do whatever I like. But that's the point. I want to do whatever I like, not I'm doing what Krishna likes. Because it's Krishna who puts these restrictions. Does that make sense? You know, it's just the way it is. If we do otherwise, we'll attain the opposite result. These songs must be abandoned to set a standard, then so be it. So his point is this, since it's all absolute, then you're getting benefit from all the different pastimes and songs about the Lord. So if this means that though bona fide devotees or advanced devotees could sit and discuss more advanced topic matter, if that's going to create a problem, then therefore we'll abandon it. We won't do it. Right? Because the advanced devotee will still get benefit from just the more public pastimes. Right? So if that means giving up discussion of the intimate ones, then fine. Yes?
I think there's also in those pastimes, then when materialists try to enter into this intimate kind of kirtan.
Yeah.
Prabhu felt very unsatisfied.
Yes.
He couldn't feel any love of God.
Yes.
Because some outsiders were there.
Yeah. So they ruin the mood.
So it's unpleasant.
It's unpleasant. So that's why they imagine themselves in the pastimes, because the Lord's not different from his form. Then you're butting into the pastimes, how that will make Krishna happy. You know what I'm saying? So that's why. You know, the point is okay, you're trying to do something to get the mercy, but the point is what's your point of getting the mercy? Okay, yes, by doing this you'll get the mercy, but why are you trying to get the mercy?
For myself.
Yeah, so if it's just about yourself, it's not about, then in that I'll be able to perform my service better, or I'll be able to deal with Vaishnavas better, then it has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So here it's just about getting the mercy for yourself. You know, you want to be there, isn't this great? And all that, you know. But then the point is it's not actually living in the present. Because in the present, then you're experiencing it. You're talking about, isn't this great? What are you talking about? I had an experience, now the experience passed and I'm talking about, wow, isn't this great? So you're living in the past. So it's a mode of ignorance. Is that my sense? So that therefore, this projection of themselves into the pastimes or this and that, it's just the mode of ignorance. It's not going to please. Just like Rumi was saying about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Lord Chaitanya, when they're having kirtan at Srivasangam, if somebody who wasn't supposed to be there came, then, you know, it would stop the pastimes. We must give some benefit to the... If these songs must be abandoned to set a standard, then so be it. We must give some benefit to the public. The practice of singing publicly the Lord's intimate pastimes by those who have not given up sense enjoyment and the desire for wealth are the activities that give Kali an occupation. So in other words, you could say the one, you know, definite, absolute benefit of sahajiyas is they give Kali Raj something to do. But otherwise, he would, if it's only pure Vaishnavas, he'd have nothing to do, right? I mean, he could join the Harinam and chant and dance, but... Yes?
I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also made a comment that most of his time he spent of describing what Krishna consciousness is not, just to defeat all those people.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's much of the time you have to describe, yeah. Because where we start, when Yama means what you should give up.
Mm-hmm.
Niyama is what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. So you have to start with what should not be doing. You know, it's just like, you know, the kid's about to stick something in their mouth. You tell them, no, you know, then they put that down. Now this goes in your mouth, you know, not that. You know, see? Yeah, so much of the time is spent describing what not to do. Like this whole study is basically what not to do. Like that. Yeah, this study and Tattva Vivek are basically studies, well, actually, six systems. The whole thing is what not to do. Yeah, true. Okay, that's the that okay, that Sri Srila Prabhupada Upadeshamrita. In his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.193, Srila Prabhupada compares the attempt of mundane persons to understand the confidential affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna to the attempt of keeping an elephant in a dish. Material lust cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord, for it is applicable to materialists, not to Krishna. Only prema, or love of Krishna, is applicable for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prema is full service rendered unto the Lord. Right? Because material lust can't be engaged, because what has it got to do with Krishna? Krishna's not on the material platform, so where's the commonality? Keeping an elephant in a dish. It's not going to fit. Right? Okay. Now here's the Sahajya's retort, right? But the main thing is to be natural. The stubborn Sahajya retorts. Quote, Lord Chaitanya and his associates used to overeat, so we need not endeavor to control our tongues. Some of the Lord's greatest associates had more than one wife, so we can enjoy in this way too. Even when a so-called advanced Vaishnava chastises Sahajya, calling him a dog, fool, demon, sinner, and saying, I'll kick on your face. This shows he is no different from the rest of humanity. For he gives free vent to feelings of pride, anger, and enviousness. Right? Somehow or another, these ones are bad. But if the Sahajya has all these different kinds, then that's fine. You understand? So we see is that there's more at work. It's not logic here. There's actually serious issues. Right, there's issues that they're not about to follow what's bona fide, because it says some of the Lord's great associates had more than one wife. Therefore, we can do it. But the point is no. If you want to follow the example, only some of them had. So only some of the Sahajiyas can have more than one wife. So now they can sit there and kill each other over which one of them are the some, right? And they say they overeat. We don't need to control our tongues, but they only overate Krishna Prasad. And generally, overeating is only because Lord Chaitanya would give them five times what a normal person could eat when he'd serve. So they have to sit Lord Chaitanya down, and then others would serve the shot. Right? So we don't really hear of them overeating. Right? You know, if you read in the stories, it's not that. So where do they get this? And then from that, then they would eat fish, this, that. How does this work? Yes.
Some of them, Mahaprabhu's associates face sannyasis as well.
What about that point? Yeah. You know, Chota Haridas drowned himself in the ocean. What about that one? You know, hey, we can all drown ourselves in the ocean.
Yeah.
World Drowning Yourself in the Ocean Day. Right? Does that make sense? You know. But the point is, there's only one. You know, so. Right? So he's just giving vent to pride, anger, and enviousness. He's envious of the devotees, but actually they're not devotees. He's trying to correct the sinful mentality of a materially distracted jiva, but they can't appreciate it. Why does he then pretend to be free of lust? He should just relax and be natural.
Sounds very familiar, eh?
Huh?
Sounds very familiar.
Yes. So the thing is just relax and be natural. But what does natural mean? Natural as a, you know, human in the mode of goodness, or natural as a dog on the street? You know, what is this naturalness they're talking about? You know? Sashivananda Sen's dog didn't take a bath. right? And he went back to Godhead, so we don't need to take a bath, you know? So, you know, so it means it's just, one has to be very, very careful. That's why one uses the examples and the direction that the acharyas give, right? Because they're showing this is how things work. This attitude qualifies the sahajya for receiving the kind of Vaishnava kripa described in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46. Quote, Srila Prakti Siddhanta has stated, when childless people think themselves Mahabhagavatas and act in defiance of the Vaishnava spiritual master, such behavior simply holds them back from receiving the mercy of the Vaishnava guru. Bewildered by false ego, these self-proclaimed devotees gradually become fit to be ignored by pure devotees on the intermediate platform and are cheated of the mercy that comes from the devotee's satisfaction. Right? Because the intermediate are who's going to preach. Thus they become asadhu by constantly committing offenses against the devotees who preach the holy name of Krishna. Pure devotees, therefore, in all circumstances, display indifference to those who falsely imagine themselves to be Vishuddha Bhaktas, or pure devotees of the Lord. This indifference is an excellent manifestation of their mercy. Yes.
Is this fit to be ignored and indifference, upeksha? That how they deal with four people in four ways, prema for God, hearing from the advanced devotee, equal or loving relationship with the equals, and then mercy on the
juniors.
But then there's also fifth. There's the
just ignoring the because it's that they have these four in being in means their faith is able to accommodate all that. But the thing is they associate with the devotees, they ignore the... In other words, they worship the Lord, associate with the devotees, preach to the innocent, and ignore the...
Envious,
right? So then, in associating with the devotees, or giving mercy, then that's where that definition comes in. You understand? That's a subgroup within that. You understand? So the four means worship of the Lord, association with the devotees, mercy to the innocent, and ignoring the who's not innocent.
Okay.
Understand? Then in giving the definition of what's devotee, or who you're giving mercy to, then that comes in.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Thank you, Maharaj.
The Sahajiyas entertain all sorts of mundane ideas about Lord Chaitanya and his associates, which they try to support with offensive interpretations and outright lies about the pastimes described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sometimes they present their own bogus scriptures to prove their false assertions. So the Sahajiyas want us to understand that we poor families should be realistic about the great Acharyas, who, being only human, also had their faults. Because the whole thing is about faults. It means faults are fine. But Vaishnavas, who are preaching have, that preaching, that's false. That's not fine. Right? In other words, if you're attached to sinful activities or just other mundane, ordinary stuff that a sahaja can relate to, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But if it's something that's attacking the position, saying that the position of the sahaja is not correct, or preaching pure devotional service, then they'll attack that and say, this is bogus. Right? We should take these faults into account before accepting their teachings blindly or idealistically. Right? In other words, so then you just pick and choose as you like. Because before they said, don't worry about if the guys that completely attached to mundane and even sinful activities, if in the kirtan or in the class about God, Krishna, then he's in ecstasy and all that, so then that will burn it away. So that means he's actually advanced, he's not sinful. Right? But then here, when it goes to the acharyas, then, well, they are humans, they make mistakes, so therefore you should be very careful about choosing what they say. You understand? It's a very specifically designed philosophy to avoid real authority. right? And then to take their position that's totally mundane and then cover it up and say it's all spiritual and why you're... Right? In other words, the way that you should be applying it on Vaishnavas who are sincerely trying to follow the order of Guru, then you may apply those things of don't worry about, you know, worry about their devotional endeavor. That's what's going to purify them. But they're not making any endeavor. They're saying that, no, you don't have to endeavor. You just be natural, right? Relax, be natural. Right? Like that. Srila Prabhupada deals with this feature of Sahajiya Rascaldom at length in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita 1085, where he describes three bogus stories about Srila Jiva Goswami circulated by the Sahajiyas. Right? So they'll circulate stories to just show mundane elements, so therefore they don't have to worry about it. But at the same time as they have all kinds of mundane things, and oh no, then they're great devotees. You understand? So it's specifically just targeted at the pure Vaishnav line, so that they can establish their totally bogus line. Okay, footnote 9. Okay, this is 1086 purport. The Sahajiyas level 3 accusations against Srila Jiva Goswami. This is certainly not congenial for the execution of devotional service. The first accusation concerns a materialist who was very proud of his reputation as a great Sanskrit scholar and approached Sri Rupa and Sanatha to argue with them about the revealed scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatha Goswami, not wanting to waste their time, gave him a written statement that he had defeated them in a debate on the revealed scriptures. Taking this paper, the scholar approached Jiva Goswami for a similar certificate of defeat. But Jiva Goswami did not agree to give him one. On the contrary, he argued with him regarding the scriptures and defeated him. Certainly it was right for Jiva Goswami to stop such a dishonest scholar from advertising that he had defeated Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But due to their illiteracy, the Sahajiya class referred to this incident to accuse Srila Jiva Goswami of deviating from the principle of humility. Right? Because the point is that rascal scholar could be them. Right? So, you know, you basically want to get rid of this kind of stuff. They do not know, however, that humility and meekness are appropriate when one's own honor is insulted, but not when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed. Right? So in other words, if means he's saying that I've defeated Rupa and Sanatana, right? Mm-hmm. From the principles that I went to them, he's looking at it like this. I went to them and they were, you know, without even discussing, already so worried or in anxiety about his scholarship that they just signed a paper saying that he's, you know, they've been defeated or he's a great scholar, right? He didn't catch that it's simply out of humility and Krishna consciousness that why waste time with this guy, right? He's not a devotee, he's just a scholar, and he's just going to waste so much time arguing, even if you give him proper siddhanta, he won't appreciate it, right? And because of that, it's just a waste of Krishna conscious time. Right? So he's bringing it and saying, see, they've been defeated. But the point is that's their humility, that they didn't want to get involved and all that. Oh, if he wants to, and on the other side, if he wants to be the big scholar, let him be the big scholar. The point is he'll be the big scholar in the material world, birth after birth. The point is you know, that's not the whole point, right? But Jiva Goswami, now he's defending the Lord and the devotees. So therefore his argument defeating him is actually correct. It's just not to be done.
And the Sahaja who says this can also justify his position by saying that Rupa Goswami also chastised Jiva Goswami for...
Yeah, but he chastised him there, but at the same time as Jiva Goswami chastised the other one, the nonsense guy, that's not good.
Yeah.
So you can only chastise the pure devotees like that. So this, we're only chastising pure devotees. Wait, the Sahajiyas, hey, we don't say anything about that. You know, so it's the whole thing's backwards. In such cases, one should not be meek and humble, but must act. One should follow the example given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya says in his Shikshastaka, one can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant of the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Nevertheless, when the Lord was informed that Nityananda Prabhu was injured by Jagai and Madai, he immediately went to the spot, angry like fire, wanting to kill them. Thus Lord Chaitanya has explained his verse by the example of his own behavior. One should tolerate insults against oneself, but when there's blasphemy committed against superiors, such as other Vaishnavas, one should neither be humble nor meek. One must take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. This is the duty of a servant of Guru and Vaishnavas. Anyone who understands the principle of eternal servitude to the Guru and Vaishnavas will appreciate the action of Srila Jiva Goswami in connection with the so-called scholar's victory over his gurus, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan Goswami. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami states that when Srila... Yeah. Now, here is another thing. Okay. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami. Why Jiva Goswami? Because he, the Sundarbas in that, is most exacting, would exactly point out their bogus behavior. Like that. Okay, another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami states that when Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami showed him the newly completed manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Goswami thought it would hamper his reputation as a big scholar and therefore threw it into a well. Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami was greatly shocked, according to the story, and he died immediately. Right, so everybody's pretty mundane here. Fortunately, a copy of the manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later it was possible to publish the book. Now, somehow or another, Mukunda would have a copy before Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami would give it to Jiva Goswami, even though Jiva Goswami is his guru. Right? Makes a lot of sense, no?
Makes no sense.
No?
Because then it was handwritten.
It was handwritten. And so that means it would take a long time to handwrite a new one. But somehow or another, Mukunda had one, you know, before it was shown to Jiva Goswami. Right? And the fun part is all the Goswamis lived together. Radha Damodar, you know. Damodar was where everybody would hang out. Even though they had their own temples, they would spend the time there together. So, you know, it's another fabricated story. This story is another ignominious example of blasphemy against the Guru and Vaishnava. Such a short story should never be accepted as authoritative. According to another accusation, because the point is this, these things, it's not about scholarship. Jiva Goswami wasn't about scholarship. That's admitted. He's a scholar. But the point is then everybody's writing their literatures and accordingly. Because the point is Chaitanya Charitamrita is not about scholarship. It's about the Lord's pastimes. Right? Tattva Sandarbhas. Now that's written as a scholarly thing to present the academic, or not the academic, just the superior philosophy of Bhagavatam. Right, so how do the two different genres, you know, why would that be, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense as a story. You know, even just on the mundane platform, it doesn't make sense. Another story fabricated, according to another accusation, Srila Jiva Goswami did not approve of the principles of the Parakya Rasa of Brajadam, and he therefore supported Swakya Rasa. Because then that's another way to write him off. Because in other words, they don't get rid of Jiva Goswami, then they're exposed. Right? Showing that Radha and Krishna are eternally married. Actually, when Jiva Goswami was alive, some of his followers disliked the Parakya Rasa of the gopis. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported Swakya Rasa. For he could understand that Sahajiyas would otherwise exploit the Parakya Rasa, yes, as they're actually doing at the present time. Does that make sense? Because the point is he switches from rasa to tattva. Because the point is Radha and Krishna is Krishna and his energy. So they're non-different. So them sporting with each other, that, you know, what's the question that they're not married? They're the same person, technically. You know what I'm saying? So you come out with tattva, then it's not, it looks though as parakeet, but actually they're eternally the Lord and his consort. You know, like Lakshmi and Narayan, no one has a problem there. Right? Does that make sense? But it's like a pastime that it's parakeet, because you're talking tattva here. So then from that, they could accept it. But he's not saying it from rasa point of view. He's saying from the tattva. Right? But because they can distinguish, they'll take it that way and then be satisfied. Right? You know, like sometimes, like there's the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and you know, are only 3 years old and they're playing and all that, because then if, you know, Mother Jashoda goes over and visits, you know, Kirtida and like that, you know, and then all the kids hang out together. 3-year-old boys and girls, they go and play together. No one's going to be upset. So they're out playing and the adults are there, and so then they wander off a little bit in the forest. And once they get a little off in the forest, then they take their age as, you know, 16 years old. Oh. And then, you know, Brahma comes and there's a marriage, the whole thing like that. And they'll say, see, they're actually married. Does that make sense? You know, and then they're all happy. Okay. So it's just in the pastime, it appears that they're not. And then it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's just like, what is it? Louis XIV, they would dress up as cowherds and go out in the lawns of, you know, in the forest around Versailles and then, you know, play there like they're cowherds. You know, just ordinary villagers. So that doesn't mean that they're villagers, you know. You know, it's just they're playing like that, you know, so it's fun. So, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Actually, when Jiva Goswami was alive, so his followers disliked the parakeet rasa of the gopis. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported swakiya rasa. If we could understand that sahajis would otherwise exploit the parakeet rasa, as they are actually doing at the present time. Unfortunately, in Vrindavan and Navadvip, it has become fashionable among sahajiyas in their debauchery to find an unmarried sexual partner to live with, to execute so-called devotional service in the parakeet rasa. Foreseeing this, Srila Jiva Goswami supported swakiya rasa, and later all the Vaishnava acharyas also approved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to the transcendental parakiya rasa, nor has any other Vaishnava disapproved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Krishnadas Goswami accepted him as one of his instructor gurus. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 1086 purport. Right? So in other words, one, in one's own personal life, one practices swakiya rasa. But hearing about the Lord's pastimes, that's parakeet. Right? In other words, the Lord's the parakeet one. We're supposed to be on the swakiya side. Right? We're not supposed to. Yeah. Yes, because the sahajas, and they do it the opposite, right? Saying no, but he supported this and things like that. But then that's also to get rid of Jiva Goswami. All they're trying to do is sideline Jiva Goswami. Mm-hmm. Right? So it means, technically, it just means you give somebody a bad name, then you're going to say yes, see that they're not qualified in that. So it's not that they can discuss or argue. It's just a matter of then you attack the person. And in his purport to Madhya 1220, he writes, quote, "A jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava is not at all happy to see the success of other Vaishnavas, another Vaishnava receiving the Lord's mercy. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many mundane persons in the dress of Vaishnavas. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as disciples of Kali. He says, Kali Chela." Right. Chela means somebody's, you know, how you say?
Follower,
yeah. Like that. He indicates that there is another Vaishnava, a pseudo Vaishnava, with tilak on his nose and Kanti mala, Kanti beads around his neck, Such a pseudo Vaishnava associates with money and women and is jealous of successful Vaishnavas. So in other words, there's the pure Vaishnavas, you know, who are either practicing pure devotional service or are practicing pure devotional service in pursuance of attaining it. Right? And then there's those who dress like that, but that's not their purpose at all. Their purpose here, then he mentions, associates with men and money and women, is jealous of successful Vaishnavas. So that's then is being pointed here at the Sahajiyas. Right? Because they appear to be. Right? We don't see them so much now. But it means like you would before. Back 70s, 80s, even in the 90s, you'd see them a lot more. It means they're out there. Is the night you hear all that, you know, the kirtans going all night and all that, then that's the paid professional kirtaneers. Yeah, there's one going on. Some of them sing a little bit better and some of them don't. Yeah, so they're there. There's a lot. Remember once, I think we were in a program in Puri with Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And when was that? That was then, I think, that may have been even 70s. And we went to a program, and you know, he was speaking, and then, you know, so many others were speaking. And there was one guy there, you know, white, dressed in white, like Babaji kind of thing. They asked, you know, what sampradaya is he in? And he said, Sahajiya. So it's just, that's the name of their mind. So when we say Sahajiyas, that's what they call themselves. Like, you know, you're Hare Krishnas. You know, what do you Hare Krishnas call yourself? Hare Krishna. What do you think? Does that make sense? In summary, Sahajiya is a dog, stubborn sense enjoyer who may have some talent for singing, dancing, acting, speaking, joking, and seducing women. So I guess if you can't do all of that, then don't worry about the line. Right? He dresses himself as a Vaishnava, but is unable to distinguish between worldly fame and spiritual fame, incomplete renunciation and perfect renunciation, false devotion and pure devotion, offensive chanting, unclear chanting, and pure chanting of the holy name, worldly service and devotional service, lust and love, Mahamaya and Yogamaya, Jiva and Vishnu, right? Because he thinks they're performing Radha Krishna pastimes, right? But yeah. The cheater and the bona fide spiritual master, the Godasa and the Goswami, the neophyte and the advanced devotee, what is authorized and what is not authorized, the spiritual master and the disciple, proper conclusion and wrong conclusion, rasa and rasa bas, idol worship and deity worship, devotees and demons, and so on. Yes?
Since you can't distinguish properly between a bona fide devotee and another sahajiya, how is it possible for him to criticize the pure Vaishnavas?
The mode of ignorance inspires him.
Wow.
Right? Because in other words, if they're not acting in ignorance, then it becomes obvious to them. You know, say it's in other words, it means if it's not within the modes, it can tell that it's not working with the modes. Right? So it's just feelings. It's not means. Let us say you go into some place and there's a big old nasty dog there. Okay, now if you're pleasant, there may be one reaction. If you're not pleasant, there's another reaction. So what's the dog's problem? Right? What's the fight over? Right? It means you're getting down there and you stole the bone out of his bowl, and so therefore, you know, he has issues here.
No, you're just bad.
Huh?
Just by being present, he's
all... Yeah. So it's a matter of security. Right? So the point is the pure Vaishnavas make the bogus Vaishnavas insecure. So then automatically they... Because you're not dealing with pure devotion on the material platform. you're saying it's beyond, so therefore you have to give up the material. And they're not about to. That's why he uses dog, stubborn, sense of joy. Like that. In their persistent materialism, sahajas can only be compared to Hiranyakashipu, who thought Prahlad, a pure devotee, was just his son, or to Ravana, who thought Lakshmi Devi was a woman he could enjoy, or Shishupal, who thought Krishna was subject to his criticism. So it's just straight up mundane. That's why they use the dress of a Vaishnava. It's not actually. Right? This is not talking about sampradayic devotees. This is talking about the upper sampradaya. How can such offensive fools be delivered? It is very, very difficult, because they hold the bona fide conclusions of Shastra in great disdain. Okay, so how are you going to elevate yourself if you don't appreciate the Shastra? You don't appreciate the pure Vaishnavas. You don't appreciate the Vaishnavacharyas. Yeah. Okay, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Quote, in Vrindavan there are Prakriti Sahajiyas who say that writing books or even touching books is taboo, right? But they have their own books. Somehow or another that's okay. For them, devotional service means being relieved from these activities. Whenever they are asked, right, because you're supposed to give up the mundane, so hearing and chanting from bona fide Shastra, they just count as mundane. That's what it says. They can't tell the difference. Right? Whenever they are asked to hear a recitation of Vedic literatures, they refuse, saying, what business do we have reading or hearing transcendental literatures? They are meant for neophytes. They pose themselves to be too elevated to exert energy for reading, writing, and hearing. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.132 purport. Okay, and footnote 10. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elaborates on this point as follows. So, this is from Pisano Bhasyan Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those who are barren of the treasure of love for Krishna, propelled by duplicity, declare to the whole world their false attainment of prema, although in reality, by an external display of prema, or by announcing it to one and all, it is positively impossible for such hypocrite destitutes who are deprived of the wealth of Krishna prema to ever attain it. And so it's not only they don't have it, in that attitude they can never attain it. Right? Of course, it means how long, it means the soul can only play the position of a sahaja for so long, though it may be a long time. You know, thousands of lifetimes, whatever. But at some point, you know, they're going to give that all up. And at some point, they might come in contact with a bona fide Vaishnava and might be able to take advantage. But until they do, there's no question of their process ever giving prema. To make their good fortune known to everybody, adepts of Prakriti Sahajiism often expose to each other their insincere external symptoms of prema, such as shedding of tears. So, in other words, you have an assembly together just so that each one can show each other how advanced he is. Like that. Yes.
This whole show seems like very, I don't know how to put it. It's like not what the men do, it's a ladies' thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, this same time, it's just you're showing off your, you know, abilities, not necessarily what you have. But it's the same kind of, same principle. You know, the guy has you know, something, some gizmo or gadget, and so then you pull out a bigger gizmo and gadget. Or, you know, you drove your one car down to the place, but they drove up with something fancier. So the next time you go, you take your fancier car. You thought it was more relaxed. Right, you know. So therefore, then you show up and you know. Does that make sense? You know, so it's going on, just the men, it's not as emotional. The women will be more emotional. But it's the same kind of principle. So that's why when they get into it, the sahaja women actually do it way better than the men. Like that. Rather than calling such hypocrite sahajiyas as premika, real Shuddha Bhaktas go as far as to completely reject their association, knowing it to destroy bhakti. Shuddha Bhaktas never teach one to designate such persons as bhaktas, thus equaling them with Shuddha Bhaktas. That derives of genuine prema, the jiva hides her glory and strives for Krishna Bhajan. In other words, if they're more advanced, they're striving to hide it. But these are looking at any opportunity to show it off. So that means it's not actually real. His actual prema then would not be like that. The hypocrite sahajiya, prakrita sahajiya party, in their greed for wealth, women, and fame, Kanaka, Kamini, Pratishta, offend Shuddha Bhaktas by labeling them as Darshanik Pandita, great philosophers, Tattvavit, ontology experts, or Shukshma Darshi, acute observers. And in turn, they adorn themselves with the titles Rasika, Bhajananandi, Bhagavat Ottama, Lila Rasa Panonmata, intoxicated by drinking sweet mellows of Leela. Okay.
More likely intoxicated with something else.
Yeah, good chat. But could you imagine trying to chant that? Jaya Leela Rasa Pranomata, Jaya Leela Rasa. It's not going to catch on. Raganugya. Sadaka Graghanya, the foremost aspirants on the path of Raganuga Bhakti. Rasagya, the knowers of rasa. Rasika Chudamani, unsurpassed rasikas, etc. So they give all these titles to each themselves and each other. But for the bona fide Vaishnavas, then they just call them as scholars, pandits, and things like that. So they don't even acknowledge the devotional. Having contaminated Bhajan Pranali with the waves of their own materialistic emotions, they become attached to abominable practices. What they actually adore in themselves is pseudo-Vaishnavism. These kind of preachers go on to describe a prakrita rasa, making their respective mundane emotions a part and parcel of Krishna Seva. So whatever's going on, that's very much part of it, and just, you know. Unaware of aprakrita vipralamba rasa, they take prakrita sambhoga, which in essence is perverted reflection of rasa, virasa, as actual rasa. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Anubhasya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 20:28. Antilila, yes. So, in other words, they're only taking sambhoga, they don't take vipralamba. So if vipralamba is the highest, why don't they take that point? So then they don't live with their, their conjugal partner. Right? No, but so that's the difficulty. They adore their own Shuddha Vaishnava practices. Therefore, in dealing with the Sahaja class, one should simply stick to the proper behavior of a devotee, Vaishnava Achar, Asatsanga Tyag, A Vaishnava Achar. Quote, the rejection of the association of non-devotees, this is the Achar of the Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22:87. So that's the best policy. It's dealing with that. That ends the Sahaja section, that just ends the papers that we have. And we have no idea because the man's not here.
That ends so much.
Huh?
That ends
so much. Oh, great. It's like each one is like, you're really happy when you get to the next one. That's just really bad news. Right. So in other words, it started off as Buddhism. That a branch of Buddhism where they just wanted to not go all the rigors of Buddhism, so all the ritual, all the scriptural study and all that, so they just created what they called the easy path, which was just, you don't worry about all that, you just do whatever you want, as long as it's so-called somehow or another using some of the seeming tenets and all that. Then, because this branch had developed in Bengal, right, so it's a Bengali Buddhist, then the tantric element became mixed in, because when the Buddhists became impressed by the tantric aspect, you know, that's known, you know, right up through like Tibet and all that. It doesn't go too far, but it's just somehow or another above Bengal. Then that element was added also. So then you have their so-called tantric rituals. So this element of the engaging sexual activities is so-called as part of their process of bhajan, like this. Then when Vaishnavism became popular as time went, so this would have gone back, you know, some thousands of years. So when Vaishnavism came in and became popular in Bengal, then they just converted their philosophy and their practices into using the Vaishnava, skeleton instead of using the Buddhist. But they kept the same philosophy. And then also as the Muslims came in, then they took on the aspect of the Sufis, so the mystical aspect and the music and dancing and bhajan and singing and that kind of element. So that all got added together, and then you get your sahajya. Right? So it's natural then they're going to not appreciate pure Vaishnavas because it goes against their tenets, right? They have standard ritual, they have standard philosophy, teaching, gurus, the whole system. So that goes against their tenets, right? They're against just this free sexual yoga, right? Means the grihastha, okay, he gets married, but the others, then they don't. So the element is renunciation, while there's a sense gratification. Right? Does that make sense? And in the kirtan and all these things, they make no distinguish between what's mundane and what's spiritual. They take spiritual, means they perform the activity on the mundane plane, it's spiritual. They don't take it that, no, when it's bona fide, recommended activity coming in parampara, then it becomes spiritualized. But they just take it, no, the body becomes spiritual. Because it is spiritual. Right? You know, so this is the difficulty, is that whatever they're doing is directly opposed by pure Vaishnavism. And so that's why they specifically are very strong against pure Vaishnavism. Those of you, is that what you're saying? Right? So that's sahajya. Yes.
So now it's like a degradation after the Smarta Brahmana.
Degradation after? Well, I mean, it came during the Buddhist era. That's when it started. So the Smartas weren't so prominent at the time. But all it is means it's just different elements. And the point is that they're missing the element of what is spiritual and what's material. It's just a matter of the Smartas use ritual and it ends up as impersonal. And the Sahajiyas don't use ritual in that and it ends up as impersonal. Because they think we have become Radha and Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So they're trying to enjoy as Radha and Krishna rather than hearing about Radha and Krishna. That's the whole thing. So it's bad. Mm-hmm. No?
I was thinking that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was very strict with them, but then the other son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually became like one of the acharyas of the Sahaji movement.
Yeah, it happens. No?
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah, the point is this, the association's not good, then anything can happen. Mm-hmm.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Sarvabhaita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura Prema ki.